Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, last week's bank bailouts averted a catastrophe. The Dow Jones finished the week off 0.1%. S&P was actually up 1.4%. NASDAQ, big winner, up 4.4%. The European index down 3.1% as the ECB continues to raise rates a half a point. And the 10-year Treasury was down 0.3%. Oil off 13%. Year-to-date, it's off over 17%, down at $66 a barrel. More on that later. And bonds up 1.5%. So the fallout from Silicon Valley Bank has dominated markets this past week. And as such, I thought I'd focus on a couple things. What's happened with Silicon Valley Bank and other banks? Two, why is this happening? Three, is Fed action over the weekend and this past week helping the crisis? Four, the impact on the monetary policy and inflation? And five, is this a bearish game changer? Let's jump into it. SVB, as we talked about last week, was, of course, the largest bank failure we've seen since Washington Mutual started me thinking all about 2008 again. I remember that real well. Then, as we know, this past week, the Federal Reserve Bank and the European government stepped in. We had Credit Suisse. All those came under scrutiny. You also had local bank, First Republic, and some of the major banks putting some money together to loan to them. And the Fed created a new lending facility called the Bank Term Funding Program, which will provide loans to banks and accept the treasuries that got them into trouble because they were underwater, and agency mortgage-backed securities as collateral. And the lending facility will value these bonds at par, meaning they're not subject to the market that has caused them to go down. So there's no market value, and that is the important part. So the question is, do the moves by the government solve the crisis? I'm going to say no, but they help. There are two main reasons why I'm saying that. First is local economic risk. So thousands of companies, as we talked about last week, had money at SVB, and the vast majority of them, as reported, was over 80%, had deposits in excess of $250,000. Of course, that's the FDIC limit. So if those uninsured deposits are lost, then they will have no money to meet payroll, pay suppliers, etc. Now, we talked about that last week. That seems to have been averted. And that's what helped this market this week hang in there. The second risk is bigger. The fact that SVB and the SBNY failed was because of lack of interest rate risk management, period. Banks bought long-dated bonds over the past several years, and they didn't manage the duration or the interest rate risk. So as rates were rising, as we talked about last week, over the past year, and longer-dated bonds started dropping in value below par, the bonds were just not worth what they were. So this problem is a varying problem across banks in the U.S., and it could represent a threat to those banks that would have a problem if capital was being called. But you could argue that the Fed and the government has removed much, if not all, of that risk by now accepting these bonds from banks at par. This eliminates the need for a bank like SVB to fire sale those treasuries during times of stress and provides capital to keep things going. So the big question is, who's going to pay for it? The core issue going forward is, and this is for most banks, is the liability associated with the uninsured deposits, those in excess of $250,000. Is that the government's responsibility or is it ours? So I expect as we move forward, you're going to see regional banks start to get regulated a lot harder. You're going to see the cost of capital for those smaller banks where lots of small businesses borrow money going up. But the bottom line is the government response solved, at least temporarily, the problem that we could have been facing this week. So will this make the Fed? This is the big question, because this coming week, we're going to see Chairman Powell on Wednesday, which will be a big day, raise rates or not. And so does this market event and the events that were occurring in Europe with Credit Suisse. Will this affect the Fed? Will it cause them to be less hawkish, stop raising rates? The market is pricing 25% chance that they're going to raise rates, possibly 0.25%. It's a big argument. I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to raise 0.25%, but not 0.5%, which was what was thought of before. And I think that because inflation's still around. We saw it this week. It's not going away. So is this a bearish game changer and a reason to go to cash right now in your portfolio? No, not yet. Okay, so I hope that helps. The situation obviously was stressful. But it's not 2008 again because we're looking at a different situation. You've got treasuries backing deposits, which are liquid and have some trading ability, versus in 2008, we had the subprime mortgage, which was backed by, as you remember, CDOs and things that had no value because the mortgages had gone past the value of the homes. Remember that? And so that's, in some way, the silver lining. Now, is the Fed hitting the brakes too hard? I want to come back to bonds because the bond market thinks so. Last week was a pretty significant week for bonds. Not for stocks, but for bonds it was. It was equivalent of some 20% drops, if you will. Let me talk about that. On March 16th, 2022, this was over a year ago, the Fed started raising rates. They did 8 interest rate hikes. This was to slow down inflation. Since then, inflation has peaked and remains high, but economic growth seems to be continuing on. The recent bank troubles are an early indication that the policy might be overly restrictive, and the bond market is sending a signal right now that the end of the aggressive rate hikes could be over. We had something happen last week, which is called a 3-sigma event. I want to explain that. It's when the 2-year treasury drops significantly in a short period of time. And that just happened this past week. The 2-year treasury dropped 1.2% in a 5-day period of time. Now, that has not happened since 1987. In a matter of days, the market moved from pricing in 3 rate hikes and 0 cuts for the rest of 23 to pricing in 1 rate hike and 3 rate cuts. So it's a literally an about face. Those of you who are holding 2-year treasuries, you had a great week. You made a lot of money. Those of you who weren't, who were longer on the curve, well, you got hurt. So this has started to steepen, and this is where the Fed may turn around on their policy, because if you look at the bond market again, when you have 2-year yields falling below the Fed fund rate, this signals traditionally the end of the Fed raising rates. So we saw that in 2019, 2006, 1999. So the banking sector presents a new worry, of course, for investors, but it's a context of an ongoing bear market that started 15 months ago. And for perspective, the average bear since 1945 has lasted 13 months. And remember, when the Fed pauses, this is usually positive for a balanced portfolio. And typically we see, again, you can't rely on this, but I'm just looking at history. 1984, 1989, 1995, 2006, 2018, some pretty decent returns for the S&P 500 as a result of what was happening there. Now, I think it's too early to call a bottom in the oil market. However, there are 2 technical reasons this past week that $66 a barrel is important. And so from a technical standpoint, I want you to pay attention to that, because right now there's support between $65 and $67 a barrel, and this started back in 2021. So based on the latest trading we've seen, you're looking at a top of 73 to 80, and a break below that could take us below 66, but I don't think very much. So I think that's the range we're going to see for the S&P 500. We closed at 3916. The resistance level on the upside is 3951. Support on the downside is 3825, and then 3733 after that.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.